Hi, my name is Mac.
Mac.
So I was looking for the solution because around this meeting you're supposed to talk about the solution. So of course I can't find it. And I'm a little nervous up here, but just bear with me. Wanted to say a few things to get started. I wanted to take things to the simplest, lowest common denominator because it helps me understand what I'm here for and why I come to these meetings. And so the first thing I wrote down today, and I'm also a perfectionist, so I wanted to get everything laid out and right. So this is a self-help program. And when a person goes to a self-help program, that means they're trying to change their life, their outlook, their whatever happens in their life. And that's a good thing. A lot of people don't go to any self-help groups. And I think anybody that came to this meeting and has any interest at all in changing themselves, that's a darn good thing. I mean, for myself, I want to be different than I was before. And I'm kind of jealous of any younger people in the room because they got more time to be different. But nevertheless, better late than never. And I wouldn't call it late. I saw a picture of a guy the other day. He had just gotten back from India, and he lives down below on the Mexican border, and he's 105. And forgot his name, but he was with a bunch of people that I'm pretty familiar with them. And to look at him in this picture, I'm going, doggone it, that's how I want to look when I'm 105. So I'm in it for the long run, and God willing and the creek don't rise, I'm going to have a great next 20 years or so. So one thing I wrote in big capital letters is self-help. The next thing I wrote down was the word spiritual. Okay, so I didn't come around here to get spiritual. I don't relish the idea of it. I've always been a part-time Buddhist. I remember 20, 30 years ago, I was up there stuck in out of gas up by Redding and ended up at the Shasta Abbey for 3 days. And I think you only clap with one hand up there. And I kind of like the sound of one hand clapping. I was up there, I run around to different spiritual places. I actually find it in some where a lot of people find it, in the woods. I tried to put some words around this because some of the 12-step programs, they say the only goal is to establish a fit spiritual connection. And that's an interesting goal, and I guess as I get older a little bit, I have that same goal, and I tried to put some words around that desire for myself to get more involved on the spiritual side, and one thing I just love about 12-step is that you get to make your own up. There's nobody telling you what kind of higher power to believe in. I never liked the God word. I just didn't like it because while I come from an alcoholic infested childhood, and that's going to be a slightly different, I think, segue on my story, but that God they threw at me when I was a kid didn't like me very well at all, and he was mean, and he wanted to shame me pretty much. And then the various people in that picture kind of embellish those thoughts. And so coming around here and you get to actually invent your own idea of a higher power, that's an interesting idea. I had never thought of it myself. So I would come up with, like for example, a bluebird on my shoulder. So if that's God, I have something outside of myself helping me out. So like they say, anything but me. That's a good idea of a higher power. Anything but me. So I have to look out there and get it. I heard the word mentioned earlier today, if it's reflection, if it's consciousness, if it's listening, if it's meditating, if it's breathing, if it's there's as many definitions of a higher power as there are people in this room. And wow, that's amazing. We could all kind of put them in a big cauldron, and a whole new higher power might come out. So I like the idea that you get to come up with your own. And so the one that I'm coming up with, I was taught the Lord's Prayer when I was a kid. And so when I first thought I would try to put some more spiritual side into my life, I just recited it out of rote because that's all I knew. And so I did expand on it and change it. And in the very beginning, this Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Well, our source of change is what I do in the morning, which is who is. And then I run some words by, and I try and change those words. So connection, people. So even these 12-step meetings, they say you have a little mini meeting, so you bump into somebody here and there, and you talk a little shop talk. I mean, that's a higher power right there. I think language is a powerful higher power. I don't know if dogs can chat it up, not like people do, or cats. Cats are an interesting bunch. I don't know if they do too much chatting it up. They probably communicate a lot more than we know. But as far as the connection with language, and that whole thing, so the spiritual side of it, and then right in our initial readings, they talk about this program, ACA, being a program based on action coming from love. So if that's what God is, if that's a higher power, that's a beautiful higher power. I mean, that's the action, maybe the collective action of everybody in the program. So there's what, a million or so, I don't know. A lot of people are in the ACA program, and the collective action coming from that collective love and wisdom is a whole lot of power to that. So I wrote down some little, I go to AA meeting sometimes, and there's a guy there, they call him Football Tom, and the reason they call him Football Tom is his God is this football, and he carries it around with him. And I asked him a couple of times, what's that about? He says, well, it's easy. I could see it. I could toss it, get it back. And so he just likes to be Football Tom. And he's even when he's shopping at the grocery store, he'll have that football in the front of his shopping cart. So, you know, that's an odd God to have, but that's what he came up with. So, and I'm not going to tell him, well, that can't be your God. If you get a good buzz off of that football, more power to you, you know. So after trying to put some words on it, then I read right in an ACA book, I don't know, XXXVIII, some page or another, this three or four sentences about taking the words for your higher power out of the mix. So that this whole thing is like, okay, well, let's get real quiet and find God that way. So, okay. That's what I'm trying to do now is find a real quiet place, maybe with some wildlife around, and just leave the words out of it. So let it just kind of go through me that way. So one was self-help, two is spiritual. I wrote down this other thing, and it's the five-letter word tribe. I like the idea of tribes. I don't know why I like the word tribe. I got a lot of friends that are Jewish people, and they use the word tribe all the time. And this is kind of a tribe, this bunch. I mean, there's, in a way, I mean, I better go back to the Wikipedia and actually look that word up. But I don't see a lot of four-star generals around these rooms. And like I was telling, I think, Larry or Linda something earlier, I was at a convention here at Stearns Wharf 3-4 weeks ago for Al-Anon, Alateen, and AA, and the keynote speaker was talking about 40 days and 40 years, and the common ground on each of those. So there's a lot of wisdom in 40 days, and there's a lot of wisdom in 40 years, and in between, that's the same thing. So I like the idea that there's no It's a peer-to-peer program. So I used to hate this word fellow travelers. I'm not Spock. I'm not watching Star Trek. So fellow traveler strikes me as an odd word, and I don't know who came up with it. I don't care. However, the word friend in the program brings it a little easier for me. My friend that understands me, because we're both ACA style. So peer-to-peer. Nobody that's just, and although I must, as a nod to trained professionals that are truly versed in whatever coming from these crazy types of backgrounds entails, that's a great source of help. And I'm not going to put down trained professionals. In fact, I wish I could find a truly trained professional to talk to me. Anyways, my daughter was raised with an alcoholic mother, and that thing you read, either we become alcoholics, marry them, or both, that's an interesting sentence. And I come from that background, so maybe I was just repeating what I knew. So I took her to Alateen when her mom was getting sicker and sicker, and now she's 30. And a week or two ago, I said, her name's Amy. I said, Amy, do you remember when I took you to the Alateen meetings? And she goes, yeah, so what of it? I said, well, think back. I mean, is there any takeaway, or what'd you take with you? She says, the only thing I can take away is that I wasn't alone. And I thought, that's interesting. And I heard it in the room earlier today. This elephant in the living room. When I was a kid, being raised around absolutely abnormal behavior with reference to drinking, how the relationships worked, somewhat the abandonment, but I've always had a little tougher time relating to the abandonment. Step parents and all alcohol fueled, round and round, and no real option, no real alternative. Although the first 12-step meeting I went to, my mom took me when I was about 10 years old back in Cleveland in a stinky church basement, and it was an AA meeting. And so there was some of that around, but my childhood, it was a whole lot of absolutely nutty, and even worse than that. I mean, hospitalizations, jails, funerals, stuff that happens. Maybe it happens in every, but it just seems more pronounced when there's a whole lot of alcohol involved. And I got my sister on the phone a little earlier this evening, and I told her, I said, you know, I'm going to be speaking at a ACA meeting tonight. She says, drill down to the details, tell them, and then she lays out some of the things that happened. I'm going, and this is a poor woman that doesn't drink, says she's in the program, but I don't know if she is or isn't. Whenever I visit her, the subject never comes up. And so she's basically untreated because we were both raised in the same household. And she had it worse than me, because I got to go to college back in 66 when I lost a kid brother. And so she had to live through the year or two at home after that. And things got, when you mix alcohol with a child dying in your family, it is not a good combination. So she really had a lot more brunt of it than I did. At least I was off of college. And so I said to my sister, well, I'm not gonna do that. I'm going to focus on the positives that come out from membership in this group, in this tribe. And I said, I thought to myself, and you should try it as well. But she has no interest in it, and so whatever, she does what she does, and I can maybe mention it. One other little aside, now that that subject's coming up, is I know some people, a lady that I know named Peggy, and some other people that really want the message of ACA to get out there a lot more in the mainstream. Because there's a ton of, I hear it all the time when I go to AA meetings, there is a lot of like generational alcohol stuff, and they could possibly not even know that ACA is out there, and it's a beautiful answer to some of your problems. So I also wrote down here, detach with love. because around Al-Anon, and I mean, if this whole thing started from Alateen, when the kids were getting older, scratching their heads, the idea of detaching, because given my devices and untreated, undoctored up with any of the conventions of ACA, I want to dig in and defy it. I want to fight it. I want to wail out against it. And detaching with love is kind of like the opposite of that. It's I know what I can't beat, and profound alcoholism and families drinking and everything, I can't beat that. It's just a reality out there. The other thing I would mention to any and all of you that would care to listen is spend a little time on the internet and look at adultchildren.org. I happen to notice today some of these podcasts. There's a meeting in Latvia, a Skype meeting, and one of our members has been all over Russia behind this stuff. And I mean, it's something that doesn't respect national boundaries or economic boundaries or anything else. So there's a lot of resources on the adultchildren.org website. Let's see. I wrote down clarity. Because in my book, that's a lot better than the word serenity. I just like the ring of it. I think the way I was... Oh, it says we're addicted to excitement. So if I'm an excitement addict, do you think the word serenity would appeal to me? Not exactly. However, if you go to the dictionary and look up the word, one of the synonyms is clarity. So if I have the clear thinking and the clarity to accept what I cannot change. Okay, so I know what I can't change. I know what I can change. I told this to a lady the other day, and she says, tell you what to do. I told her about my dry erase marker. So now I have this floor, I rent a room down in San Diego. I have this floor-to-ceiling mirror, and in the morning I just take the dry erase marker and write down a little note to myself. Be kind to self. And it's just another little thing, because another common trait that we have is we tend to ride ourselves hard. Maybe not all of us, but enough of us do. So in closing, I'm just going to kind of go through a little something here, somewhat related to the 12 steps, and then I'm going to go sit down. So in the beginning, and I know perhaps it was read earlier, when we take the 12 steps of ACA, the idea is we're taking responsibility more for our own lives rather than our addiction. So it's more like, it's a bigger subject than just our addiction. So one way to look at step one is we can't do anything about how we were born and raised. And for me, you've had a glimpse of how I was raised back in Cleveland, Ohio, but there were, and I'm using the protocol, there were some unhealthy roles that I had to adapt. And there were some adaptive behaviors that I had to use to survive, basically digging in. And I have to understand that that's not a great way to face life. And so then to kind of follow along with the steps, if this step two, where I'm coming to believe that there is a solution, and it's certainly not in digging in. So if I come to believe, and I have to remind myself with a dry erase marker, that deep down I'm a kind person, I'm a good person, I mean well. So it says in print here my own innate goodness and worth, and that I'm willing to develop a better indwelling spirit within myself. And that this spirit that I'm working on will help me live a happier and more fulfilling life. So step three, made a decision to claim my own inner spirit and to love and accept myself unconditionally. Then I'm supposed to take my life and I actually, the whole thing with a sponsor, the word sponsor kind of scares me. And that's why they use fellow traveler, because the idea that a sponsor, all of a sudden this authority thing gets in there. But if it's more like a friend, so I met a guy around the program, he says, I'll tell you what, I will be your very temporary person to talk to.
Okay.
So I have a very temporary person to talk to now. And that's been going on for quite a while. And I'm getting a lot out of it, actually. And so it says, objective inventory of ourselves, in parentheses, on our own and or with a therapist, observing all those areas where I had been victimized, owning my feelings about them, probably rage, and giving up guilt over situations that I was clearly an innocent victim. So, anyways, the rest of this is kind of like PhD level, but I have a sponsor in the program. I try and work it the best I can. There's little or no difference between, if you've got the inclination and you're willing to listen to the philosophy and bigger ideas of the ACA program, I think you're just really in a much, much better place than like my sister, my poor dear sister. I wish I could jam this program right down her throat. So it says, pardon me, it says at the end of this rendition that it's not the suffering that leads to the emotional illness, but rather the fact that the child is forbidden by the parents and whatever, the society, to experience and articulate the suffering, the pain felt at being wounded. It's not the trauma itself that's the source of the illness, but it's the unconscious, repressed, hopeless despair over not being allowed to give expression to what one has suffered, and the fact that one is not allowed to show it, and is unable to experience feelings of anger, rage, humiliation, despair, helplessness, sadness, and grief. So around these rooms, we can let it out. I was at an ACA meeting last night and heard a young man, without too much time in the program, just let it out hard, you know, sprinkle it all up with some of the most horrible four-letter words. Believe me, I've heard him before, so it wasn't too bad of a shock to my system. What I really liked was that he was getting it out there. So maybe the next time it'll be a little more done with, and then he can grow in the program. So that's pretty much what I've got. Thanks you guys for listening. I hope you take an extra couple of minutes and talk to somebody you don't know. And if there's anybody who feels like a stranger around the room or brand new and doesn't know what to think, just give it a chance. Try a few more meetings. Okay?